Okay, next up, we welcome to the show Karen Clark. Karen is the chairperson of a local support group for those affected by a little-known genetic disorder called Prader-Willi syndrome. And May is Prader-Willi Awareness Month. So for the next 20 minutes or so, we'll be finding out more about the syndrome. Before we meet Karen, though, let's take a listen to a clip of British media personality and model Katie Price talking about her son Harvey, who's diagnosed with Prader-Willi.
Prader-Willi syndrome, where he can't control
his... That's the worst one, I think.
Is it? Tell me why that is.
I'll tell you what, he's on the autistic spectrum as well. And obviously he's 12, so he's heading towards the teenager stage. So he's still going to have them hormones on top of his behavioural. But the Prader-Willis, it's because he just wants to eat, eat, eat. And if you're not looking, he'll steal food, won't you, Harvey?
Yeah.
When mummy's not looking.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's right. And the doctors won't be happy, will they?
Yeah.
No, they won't. So he'll just eat in it. And obviously he's a big boy as well, because he's thyroid. But the Prader-Willis, yeah, he does, it affects his behaviour, because everything is about food. Everything.
So that was British media personality and model Katie Price talking about her son Harvey, who was diagnosed with Prader-Willi syndrome. And Katie is an advocate, really, and a spokesperson for people who have been affected by Prader-Willi syndrome. And she does a lot of work in the UK around that. Joining us this morning to tell us more about this rare condition is Karen Clark, who's chairperson of the South African Prader-Willi Support Group, and who's 13-year-old daughter is diagnosed with the syndrome. A very good morning to you, Karen. Great to have you back on the show.
Hi there. Thank you. Thanks for having me. We really appreciate any awareness that we can get. So
I mean,
it's really
it is
a big help.
Yeah, no, and I said, you know, it's in the introduction, it is a condition that not many people know about. It's a little known condition. 1 in 15,000 people living with the condition. Just explain, what is it? What is Prader-Willi syndrome?
Okay, so Prader-Willi, it's actually it's a genetic condition, as you say. There's a small little piece of information missing on chromosome 15, which affects the functioning of the hypothalamus in the brain. And as a result of that, they have this insatiable drive to eat and this obsession with food, as you saw in the clip from Katie Price. And interestingly, you're talking about addiction, because it's almost as if they're addicted to food. So you almost have to treat this person in your home as though they're addicted to food, but at the same time, they have to eat to survive. So you can't stop them from eating, you know, completely. So not like with alcohol where you just don't drink. You have to have a fine balance. So it can be quite a thing to manage.
Yeah, yeah. I want to talk a little bit more about that later, but I just want to talk more about the diagnosis. How and when does it tend to be diagnosed?
Well, I mean, in South Africa, it's not so great, because, you know, the geneticists are really good at diagnosing it, but they have to get to a geneticist, and half the time, they don't, you know, people don't know to refer them to the geneticist. They basically, they're born as babies very floppy and weak, and they can't feed at all. So it's quite ironic. For the first 2 years of their life, they actually have what they call failure to thrive. So they're very underweight, and they don't respond to the environment. They're just very quiet. They don't cry. And so there's a lot of other conditions that have similar symptoms at birth. So the doctors are often confused as to what it is, because it's not always that obvious that it's Prader-Willi syndrome. And a lot of the time, it only gets diagnosed when they're much older and the food drive kicks in. I've heard of families where kids have only been diagnosed sort of 9, 10, when they start stealing food out of other kids' lunch boxes and things like that. Yeah.
Had you heard of Prader-Willi before your daughter was diagnosed?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I couldn't believe it when that such a condition existed. I thought, how bizarre. I mean, it really is quite a bizarre thing, you know.
Yeah. I had read an account of a mother who recalls finding out that her child had the condition. I just want to read a little bit for our listeners. According to the information I found, my angelic little girl was going to change into a ravening monster who ate everything in her path, and alongside of that would have severe outbursts of temper and rage. What was more, she would never be able to develop maturity sexually, would not have children, would be shorter than average. How could this possibly happen? Do you relate to any of that, Karen? What was your reaction to the news
that's exactly what I thought, because when you read up about it in the beginning, this is what you read, you know, that you got this sweet little baby, and you just can't believe it's going to turn into this character. But, you know, as that's the hardest moment for me so far on the journey, is that moment of diagnosis when you suddenly realize that your whole life is going to change because of this child, and you kind of grieve for what you were expecting. But as time goes on, you adjust to each phase as it happens. So it doesn't seem that they're quite that bad.
Yeah.
But it does seem that bad at the time of diagnosis. But sort of you get used to it and you just deal with the punches as they come.
Somebody asking on the WhatsApp line whether it's associated with other conditions, because as we heard Katie Price saying there, her son Harvey, he's also on the autistic spectrum, and he also, I think he's blind also, and he's got a number of other diagnoses.
Yeah, so the autism aspect of it is very common. Quite a lot of them are autistic as well. Some of them aren't. My daughter definitely is autistic as well. When I sent her to started a new therapist recently, and I gave her this whole explanation of Prader-Willi, and then after she met my daughter and spent time with her, she came back to me and said to me, "Why didn't you just tell me she's autistic?"
Right.
I was like, "Well, I don't really know, you know, she's a parent." So, so there is definitely overlap, but not all the kids have all the traits. You know,
right.
some have the few drivers worse, for some the autistic aspects are worse. They're all different.
What was it that led you to get... How old was your daughter when she was diagnosed?
So Bianca was only 4 when she was diagnosed. We had a bit of a journey. We did lots of testing when she was initially born, and all these millions of tests, and they all came back negative. We were quite thankful.
Yeah.
And then we just kind of forgot about it for a while, and we did actually do a test for Prader-Willi when she was 15 months.
Right.
But they did the wrong test and only picked up 70% of the cases. And so she didn't fall into that 70%. And so, and then we just carried on. We were kind of misguided in a way, because we didn't know there was another test that you could do. We weren't told that there was another test that you could do. And so we just thought, we're never going to know. Maybe she's got this, maybe she doesn't. And then we eventually landed up at a geneticist who said, "Oh, no, there's another test you can do. And, you know, and we definitely think she's got it." And and she did. So,
gosh, you really have been on quite the journey.
It was definitely a case of getting to the right doctor at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So,
let's talk about how treatment and whether it's treatable. Is it a treatable condition?
So the only thing that you can do at the moment, which is very helpful, is growth hormone therapy. Surprisingly, it's been FDA approved since 2000 in the US. For Prader-Willi specifically. It's also approved for short stature and a few other things. But in South Africa, it hasn't been approved by our SAHPRA. So we have to pay for it out of pocket. It is quite expensive.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of families who can't access it. So, it's unfortunate. It does help with their muscle mass. So it helps for them, because when they're born with Prader-Willi, they're literally born fat. I mean, they're tiny, but they don't have muscle tone.
Right.
And so this helps to improve their muscle tone, and in turn it helps them to have a more active lifestyle so they can do more exercise and do more. It also has, as time's gone on, they found it helps them cognitively, it helps them behaviorally. So in all aspects of their life, it actually helps. So it's not a cure, but it helps.
If you're just tuned in this morning, 12 minutes to 8 o'clock, we're talking to Karen Clark, who is chairperson of the Prader-Willi Support Group in South Africa. And May is Prader-Willi Awareness Month. And as I was saying at the start, this may actually be the first time you've even heard of Prader-Willi syndrome. It's a condition 1 in 15,000 people experience, and far fewer than that number really know what it is. How have you found, Karen, accessing the specific medical care that your daughter needs? You spoke there about the treatment options and the expense of that, because it hasn't yet been approved here. But just generally, in terms of accessing medical care.
Well, I think I live in the city, so it helps. Once you get diagnosed, then you kind of get referred to all the correct doctors. So you have to see an endocrinologist for the growth hormone therapy. And then you go to therapists for physiotherapy, baby therapy and OT and that sort of thing. And there are available doctors here. So we're very lucky. There's also great special needs schools that they can go to. But, a lot of it you have to pay for. The medical aids don't really pay for that much. And some of the medical aids are really expensive. So that's more the challenge. If you live in an outlying area, it can be quite difficult because you don't have all those therapists available in your town, you know. So, once you get diagnosed, there's an amazing community, and the doctors are amazing, the ones, you know, who do know about it.
Yeah.
So, we're very lucky like that.
What causes then, we mentioned, and Katie Price in that clip I played at the beginning spoke about her son's uncontrollable appetite, and you mentioned that too. What causes that issue, that the appetite problem.
They don't understand exactly what causes it. And that's part of one of the big things that they're researching, is to try and find, you know, some treatment for this food drive, which they call hyperphagia. It's definitely a result of the hypothalamus, which is a small little part of your brain, like right, a small organ in your brain that doesn't function correctly. Mm. That hypothalamus is responsible for most of your hormonal functioning. So all their hormones are a little bit messed up. So like that's why the growth hormone, a lot of them don't go into puberty, and then you have to give them, you know, puberty hormone. So the hormones are a little bit all over the place as a result of that hypothalamus that doesn't work properly.
And when does that the uncontrollable eating start? When did you first notice it?
So they say any time from the age of 2, and every child is different. It kicks in at different ages for different kids, and some kids, you know, have a lot higher drive than others. So for some people, they're definitely locking cupboards from a very early age. Other kids are more manageable. Bianca is, she's quite manageable as long as we're at home and the food is packed away and out of sight. But the problem comes in when you're going out to friends and to functions, things like that. It's quite stressful. You have to watch them all the time, try and distract them away from the food. You know, it's on your mind all the time. Right. So that's tricky.
I would imagine that diet medications don't help for the appetite problems.
There's a lot of different theories about diet, you know, all the different types. Some of the theories are that they're mostly addicted to carbs.
Right.
But I mean, you know, because carbs are more addictive generally.
Yeah,
speaking.
For sure,
so,
they are, yeah.
So they recommend that we cut out the carbs, but not everybody does it. Some people follow a calorie counting diet, and, you know, I think as long as you follow it strictly, they work. They all work. The challenge is actually following the diet strictly. And what actually works the best is having a scheduled eating plan, because they're very routine children and very scheduled. Like, this is the autistic side coming in.
Yeah.
You just plan their day. You only get 5 meals a day, and that's the only time you see food. If you can live a life like that, then they'll stay in a good weight. The challenge is to live a life like that. The whole family has to do it. You know, you kind of, when you go out and about, it's tricky. When they go to school, when they go to other people, they're exposed to food.
Yeah.
So as long as you can control the environment, then it's manageable.
You mentioned their living life. What does the future hold for people with Prader-Willi syndrome?
Yeah, so because of this food drive, because of the spectrum disorder, some are quite high functioning, and they might be capable of going out and getting a, you know, proper paying job, but they still have this food drive. So they will always need to have a facilitator or someone with them to stop the access to food. And this is often when the problems come in, is when they get to 18 and they go out, and even if it's to a volunteer place where they go to work or something like that, they just get exposed to food so much more, learnerships or whatever it is. So that's the challenge. So they never become independent. A lot of them have also got intellectual challenges, so not really capable anyway of, you know, probably holding down a proper paying job.
Yeah.
So you've got to, you know, look after them for life, or there are options of sending them to homes where there are people with intellectual disabilities. In South Africa recently, one of our moms started a home for Prader-Willi specifically, which is the ideal scenario, because the kitchen is locked and they only get fed at mealtimes. And I mean, one of the boys in this home has already lost about 20 kilograms since he got there, because it's the perfect environment. So that's the ideal. A lot of these other homes, they don't want to do that because they've got, you know, people in there with other issues, and they want them to have access to food. So that becomes a challenge. So I know with Katie Price at the moment, I think her son has just reached the age where she's looking for home for him. So she explained that heartbreak so beautifully, because I think, you know, you've had this child your whole life and now you've got to let go, you know, but you also know it's the best thing for them. So
I felt terribly sorry for her, actually, Karen, because she received a lot of pushback when Harvey turned 18, and she said, we're looking into, and of course the British press got it completely wrong and said, oh, she's trying to foster him out, which wasn't what was happening at all.
And she has been,
you know, like her or love her for her, you know, modelling work. In terms of her son, she has been an absolute champion, I think.
Oh, yes.
And has done extraordinary things in the absence of his biological father having anything to do with his son at all, which is a whole other issue. But I think she's been extraordinary, and she did get an awful lot of pushback for saying that she was looking into a facility. But as you say, that actually may be the best thing for...
I mean, at the end of the day, if they can maintain a healthy weight, there's no reason for them to die young. And so they can actually live. We've got some people, I think, in their 60s, not in South Africa, but overseas and that. So you have to prepare for the fact that they might outlive you. You know? So it's really tricky. It's a very difficult situation to be in. I'm not there yet, but I'm not looking forward to it.
No, I'm sure. Karen, just tell us more about the support group, which I guess really does provide a sort of support, obviously, a sort of shoulder to lean on, cry on, rant on.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So we're a group of parents, and you know, the support group was started in 1990, but since technology's changed, we've been able to use a Facebook page to connect with people, and we've also got WhatsApp groups that we started, which has been amazing because people join the group, and then if they have a question or anything strange happens, they can ask, and I don't have all the answers, so then any other parent who's been there can sympathize or can, you know, give them advice. And for a lot of people, it's just a case of, wow, I found my tribe, you know, like they just feel so much better just knowing there's other people out there with the same challenges.
Yeah, for sure. Tell us how people can get in touch if they're listening in now. Maybe mom, dad has just received a diagnosis, newly diagnosed for their child and didn't realize that the support group existed. How can people get in touch?
Okay, so if you go into Google and type Pater Willie South Africa, I'm really hoping that our page will come up. It should come up. That's the website. But the website is called paterwillie.org.za. Our website is not always that current. It's kind of quite static. But from the website, you'll get directed to the Facebook page, which is Facebook and then /PWSASA. And then we also just started an Instagram page as well recently.
Oh, wonderful.
Prader-Willi Syndrome_SA. So those are the places where you can find us. And, there's also telephone numbers and things on the website and that. So that's the best access point to get our contact details.
Okay, fantastic. Karen, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. It's been a few years since we last spoke, but you always speak with such clarity and such hope also.
Thank you.
Explaining this condition that, as I say, so many of us don't even know about. So thanks very much indeed. All the best to your family, all the best to Bianca, and hopefully we'll chat again in the not too distant future.
And thanks so much for having us and for helping us to create awareness.
We really appreciate it. Such a pleasure.
Okay.